Hello, this is Sharon Lipinski, generosity expert and donation defender, and I'm excited to speak with Mary Beth Corden today for my new feature, Generosity Profiles. And in Generosity Profiles, I'll be highlighting people who are living generously. And since there are many facets of generosity, I'll also highlight an aspect that this person exemplifies to me. Now, Mary Beth has more than 20 years of experience in marketing consumer products, and for the past 2 years, she has been managing the produce dip for the T. Marzetti Company, where she oversees the veggie dip, caramel dip, fruit dip, and pie glaze segments, and I know that you have all seen those products in your grocery store. She has also worked for Elmer's Products of the stationery adhesive business and was responsible for over $140 million in sales of the Elmer's School Glue, Elmer's Glue All, and Instant Crazy Glue brands. And prior to that, she spent more than 4 years in brand marketing with SC Johnson, working in the insect control division of the Off brand of personal repellents, where she launched Off Botanicals, a line of plant-based personal repellents. Now, obviously, Mary Beth has a wealth of corporate experience, but that is not why she's here today. In 2015, Mary Beth did something remarkable. She called it the Great Selfie Adventure 2015, and for each day of the year, she posted a selfie featuring a different nonprofit organization on her blog, thedailydoseofgoodness.com. Now, this is no easy task because she also took the time to learn about the charity, write a thoughtful post on the work they were doing and why it was important. So to me, Mary Beth exemplifies the generosity virtue of consistency, because generosity is not a thought experiment. It actually doesn't exist until a generous action takes place. So if you want to be generous, you have to act generously. And the more generous actions you take, the more generous you are. And that's why consistency is so important for generosity. It adds up one little thing at a time. And Mary Beth took at least 365 generous actions last year by highlighting and spreading the word about good nonprofits. And I'd be willing to bet that she took many more generous actions outside of her Selfies for a Cause project. So I'm super excited to welcome Mary Beth to our call today. Mary Beth, thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you, Sharon, very much for inviting me to join you and for the really nice introduction.
You're welcome. Well, tell me a little bit about this project. I mean, for me, I'm thinking committing to something every single day, that's kind of a huge undertaking. So why did you want to do this? What was your inspiration for the project?
Sure. Well, Selfies for a Cause was actually started the year before by a good friend of mine, Linda Neff, who started it in January, sort of at the spur of the moment, based on a bit of a dare, if you will, from her colleagues. And when she finished the year, she kind of tagged me to carry the baton, which I was thrilled to do, and kind of build on a great idea she had started. And I decided to add to it a little bit by including the blog element. As you already mentioned, my professional background in marketing, you know, we're finding that the marketing space and social media and blogging and influencer area is changing so much that I kind of wanted to experience it for myself. So I thought the Selfies for a Cause project was a great way to just kind of test and learn those media for communicating with folks. And it was just a great experience. I learned so much, probably haven't even fully absorbed all the lessons that I learned last year.
So what did you learn?
You know, I learned that there are amazing organizations out there. I had no idea that the nonprofit sector was as large and as impactful to our society and to our economy. Mm-hmm. And that many, you know, this is a generalization, but many of the entities I came across were started because something had happened to someone's friend or family member, and that inspired them to take action. You know, when you hear about someone who's maybe sick, you want to do something to help, but you don't always know what to do. And a lot of people gain, I want to say, just some level of feeling worse by taking some action and trying to, whether it's raise money for cause or get people aware of the different causes out there. So that was certainly an aspect of it. as well as just continuing to refine and hone organizational skills to be able to do this on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And then I also learned more about technology and blogging and how that kind of works out mm-hmm. there now.
Do you feel like it made you better able to find and choose good charities to donate to?
It definitely did, and I know there's also organizations who provide resources for people to evaluate charitable organizations. I've been involved with a few by volunteering or being on a nonprofit board, so it was great learning to see, you know, how much administrative dollars go to an organization versus right at whatever cause it is that they stand for. That's often an important aspect, but also how analogous it is to just corporate business world in terms of good management, having a purpose, being clear about what your purpose is, and having goals and objectives and plans to achieve those.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so did you find any charities, and I don't expect that you donated personally to all of them, but did you find any that you were like, wow, this is really great, I want to support this?
I definitely did. At the start of it, I was like, gosh, I wonder if there is a way I could donate all of them. And I wish there was, but I did come across some along the way, some that I'd already known, but then some new ones that just really moved me based on the work that they were doing.
Mm-hmm. Would you want to share any of
sure.
those?
Sure. I'm trying to remember some of them, but there were so many. But I know one that I met early on that helped me actually learn of others is one here in Columbus, Ohio called BASA. And I called it the nonprofit for nonprofits. And I actually remember this well because it was one of the early posts. It was in January, and it was on Random Acts of Kindness Day, which was a Saturday. And they had a group gathering to volunteer at the community shelter board for the family homeless shelter. And this is a group that what I think is so cool about what they do is they have a website, and you can go on and set up an account, and you can choose all different types of volunteer opportunities to get involved with. So not everyone can commit to, you know, being on a board of a nonprofit or things like that, but they may have an hour or two here or there that they want to donate their time and volunteer and support an effort. So they have a whole wide variety of different ways you could get involved, and I just thought that was a really cool organization and has a really cool story behind how they got started.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you mention like how many nonprofits there are more than a million charities
yeah.
in the United States. And it's really hard because, you know, if you ask people to think about charities, they can name like eight.
Yeah.
That's like how many you can remember before you're like, I don't know. And so, you know, what I do is I facilitate virtual giving circles. And our rule is we donate to a different charity every time. So we choose four different charities a year. And it forcing yourself to kind of go out there and find out what is new, you're like, wow, people are doing some really cool stuff.
They definitely are. I agree.
So logistically, you're like, how did you do this every single day?
Well, one thing I had an advantage over my predecessor, Linda, who literally started her journey at the spur of the moment, I had a little bit of foresight that this was coming because we started talking in November. And so I started to think, well, how am I going to fill 365 days worth mm-hmm. of content?
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually driving to Virginia to a family wedding. And so I started thinking about my family members, and I started listing out all their birthdays and thinking about the things I know they're involved with or passionate about or care about, and I found causes related to that. And then at the wedding, I took a bunch of selfie pictures for that particular day. So a master spreadsheet, of course, with everything listed out, you know, what was going on that day, whether it was someone's birthday, then after my family, I looked at U.S. presidents and first ladies and other famous people and national days of this or that, and just kind of listed that all out and then started searching for charities or nonprofits or what have you that match up to those days, and then would, you know, fill the days that way. And I thought it was a really cool and special way to celebrate the birthday of my friends and family, as well as to kind of highlight some of the national holidays or national events going on around the country.
And it also feels like great marketing to me.
I loved making the connections. And the other element that I tried to put in there just to make it interesting, because I'm thinking to myself, who wants to see my face pop up every day on Facebook? So I tried to do a little bit of kind of what I call Where's Waldo, and tried to go places where the background of the selfie was related to that day's post. So like I said, I'd been to Virginia for a family photo or family wedding, and we visited Monticello and some other famous places around there that I was able to link to a cause for a certain day. So I had a lot of fun doing that.
That is incredibly creative.
Thank you.
So you had a lot of prep work. Like you knew you had your calendar and what you were going to do when. Would you like get like 10 of them done and then just post them once, you know, when that day came up? Or were you doing the photo and were you pretty much just doing that every single day that you'd had to do the photo, do the write-up?
Yeah, it was a combination just depending on the week and the month and what else was going on. Sometimes I would try to write them in advance, take the photos like the day of or the night before. I had a standard little spot in my house where I had a, you know, nice colored wall behind me that worked well and the lighting was good and that kind of thing. So if I was taking them at home, I usually tried to take them there. But it was a combination. Some weeks I wasn't as good at being planned out and so kind of had to do it that day. And other weeks, because I knew what maybe I had a busier week at work or what have you, I would try to tee them up, and then be able to just kind of push some buttons every morning when I woke up.
Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. Very cool part to know. Would you do it again?
You know, I would. And Linda and I have talked about this. And she actually took it back over January 1st. So she did it almost 365 days the year before. She's awfully close. So she's done it for the month of January and now into February. And we've talked about, you know, maybe switching it up, and I might take a little time, or we might get some other folks involved. So if any of your listeners are interested, let us know, because it is really special to do it for some amount of time, to be dedicated, whether, you know, it's a week, 2 weeks, a month. Having that kind of everyday focus is, I think, really what makes the experience so special. And you asked me about the inspiration. I guess the other reason is, you know, a lot of people talk about writing gratitude journals, which I think is really cool and a great exercise. And it's similar. To me, this was similar. It was kind of a goodness journal, you know, looking at something good in the world. Seems like so many times when you turn on the news or the media, you're seeing so many not so nice things happening. So it was really nice to focus on something good that was taking place.
I love that idea of instead of doing, not, you know, instead of, like, if you're already doing a gratitude journal, you know, continue with it. But, you know, this is another way of expressing gratitude, really. It's like, here's somebody doing something great. Let's say thank you. Let's acknowledge it. Let's appreciate that. That is just a daily practice of gratitude.
It definitely is. And it was just really fun to also weave in getting to meet some famous people along the way and asking them to join me on the journey. Michael Pollan, who's an author.
Oh, sure.
He was talking at an event here in Columbus, and so I approached him afterwards, and he took a selfie with me, and the cause was related to the topic that he's an expert on.
Oh, fantastic.
Met a couple other people at the conference. Sherry Salata, who's Oprah's right hand for the Oprah Winfrey Show and now president of the OWN Network. I met one of my favorite people here in Columbus. I'm a huge Buckeye fan, and I met Urban Meyer at an event, as well as Cardale Jones and Ted Ginn Jr. and Ted Ginn Sr. And they all took selfies with me too. So one of the things I learned is you just kind of have to get out of your comfort zone and ask people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not always great at asking for help. So that kind of helped me with that as well.
You know, what's kind of cool about that is it gives you a reason to reach out to someone.
Exactly.
And my experience has been that everybody either donates to charity or wishes they were donating to charity. Not like across the board, but the vast majority of people want to support great causes, and they already have causes that they're interested in and they care about. And so now you had a doorway into finding out more about what this person cares about. It's
exactly.
a great way to connect with people.
It is. It really is.
So tell us about, I know that you're going to be doing a ride to raise money for cancer. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. One of the other areas that I'm really involved with and was also highlighted throughout the year when appropriate is an event here in Columbus called Pelotonia, which raises money through a bike ride over a weekend in August, raises money for cancer research at the James Cancer Hospital and Solove Research Institute. And 100% of the dollars raised go directly to cancer research, because the administrative costs of the organization are underwritten by some local donors, very generous donors. And sadly for me, and like many others, I know I'm not alone in this, cancer's touched my family in too many ways. So when this event first came to Columbus, I didn't know how to ride a bike. So the first year I volunteered, and it was a little hard to sit by the sidelines. I really wanted to get on a bike, even though I didn't even own one that would be suitable for such an event. And through Facebook, connected with a friend from college who had thrown out their, hey, group of professional working women going to train for Pelotonia. Who's in? And I raised my hand and recruited another friend. And our first ride that first year, which was, 7 years ago, we had like 11 people, and we rode 9 miles, and we thought we were really cool. By the end of that training season, we had about 40-some people and went 20-some miles, and we all rode 50 mile in the event. A couple people rode 100.
Wow.
And since then, I've ridden a couple centuries, which is a 100-mile ride in one day, and I've raised almost $30,000 over the years. So my hope this year is to surpass the $30,000 mark.
Oh, that's wonderful. So if any of the listeners are interested in supporting your ride, they can go to www.pelotonia.org/Mary Beth Corden. And I'll have that up on the website so you can just click on it, because it's kind of long. But Pelotonia is spelled P like Peter, ELOTONIA.
Great. Thank you for that promotion. And I have to shout out to the Peloton that we've created and has grown each year. We call ourselves Girls with Gears. And to date, we've raised over $500,000 through this event. And this last year, the event surpassed the $100 million mark.
That's fantastic.
And it's really great to see the dollars at work. We've had the opportunity to visit the James and tour it and see their dollars at work and the difference it's making in people's lives.
And so here's another example of how the consistency that you're so good at, right? This is your seventh ride. You're going to raise $5,000 this year, and total you've raised over $30,000. So just doing something, and this is, you know, for people who out there listening who think, well, that's too big for me, you know, you just start somewhere. You start small. Maybe you raise $100 or $1,000, and maybe you do 10 miles, but you just kind of start somewhere, and you just keep doing it consistently, and over time, it really adds up.
It absolutely does, and you're absolutely right. You start with, you start somewhere, and you build each year, and that's what's really worked well with our group. It's been phenomenal to see a group of folks who most of us never rode before, and now we've got people riding the entire event, which is 2 days and 180 miles, and going on and doing triathlons and all kinds of other things.
Well, Mary Beth, I want to thank you so much for joining me for Living Generously and helping so many people around you. And I want to encourage people to visit her website and help support her Pelotonia ride. Again, Mary Beth, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon.